Good morning. You are tuned to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned at 10:15 today for an episode from Pacifica Radio's Letters in Politics. Flashpoints will be off today. Today we hear The Making of an Epidemic with Alan Schwartz, a journalist, author, and the author of ADHD Nation, Children, Doctors, Big Pharma, and the Making of an American Epidemic. At 11 o'clock on The Food Show, we'll have Chris Siegel here as your host. Topics today include the new issue of Edible Portland, also Sisters of the Road's new film On the Ground with our regular gardening tips. Thank you, KBOO members, for your great support. Not a current member, you can go to kboo.fm and become one today by clicking where it says Donate. Chris Andre is waiting in the wings to host Air Cascadia at the top of the hour. Thanks for tuning in today.
KBOO at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. This film this month, Incarcerating Us, will play Friday, October 21st at 7 p.m. With 2.3 million people behind bars, the U.S. has the largest prison population in the history of the world. Incarcerating Us tells the story of America's broken criminal justice system through the eyes of those who created it, those who have suffered through it, and those who are fighting to change it. Again, that's Incarcerating Us, Friday, October 21st at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, October 19th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm on the web. Today we have a very special guest, Jacqueline Keeler, Dina Dakota, and she's a journalist, is just back from Standing Rock and has a report on an event that is beyond disgraceful. When actions that are taken by white people, we all are responsible. We all essentially created each other. And when we tell our own story, we are telling our own story with a cast of characters, some of whom we may not even know. And to say, well, I have no idea why this event happened. It's got nothing to do with me. That's a phrase that is deadly. It's got nothing to do with me. That's a terrible phrase coming from lips of a white person. From the heart and mind, that's the worst kind of excuse. If you gotta have an excuse, for inexcusable behavior. That's the worst excuse you could possibly have. That's how many people feel about it, and we don't have the luxury of feeling that way. White people have a great deal of responsibility and some serious, as I say, splaining to do. That said, we will be speaking shortly with Jacqueline. We're also going to be speaking with Carly Edwards with Working Families. We've got some big news on the Working Families front. And before we do that, we're going to do our Cascadia weather report. This is our bioregion, wherever we might have come from. This is where we are now. This is where we plant our feet. This is where we essentially take a stand on behalf of the environment, on behalf of human rights, and on behalf, of course, of the indigenous rights, because the indigenous people play a far greater role in in the life of the land than the white people are willing, generally speaking, willing to recognize. So that's why we do the weather. Okay, I pretty much explain that every day, but it's good to talk about it. It really is. So we had patches of fog all over the place throughout the night, and a low around 48. Wind not worth even wondering about. And today there is a chance of rain later on. Today we get a high around 59. For tomorrow, for tonight, rain and low around 54. For tomorrow, look for a little bit of drizzle in the morning, and then building up to showers later on in the day with a high around 62 and a south wind 8 to 11. So for tomorrow night, again, even better chance of rain. And mostly cloudy skies, lows around 51. And basically, that's it for the weather. It's part of our environment, isn't it? And it's a symptom, and the cause is climate. So there you have it. Go outside and feel it. So but without any further, we've got so many stories today. That as most people know, the trial of Ayman Bandy and his six co-defendants is coming to a close. Ayman Bandy, he did an incredibly entertaining job of defending himself. Perhaps not the best idea, given the seriousness of these crimes. It's still a mystery to me why they were charged. The charges were brought in the manner in which they were brought, and far too little was said again about who really owns that land, whose ancestral burying places were bulldozed. These people had a yee-haw fun time driving around out there at the Malheur Bird Refuge. That said, wildlife groups in Bend, Oregon, have got $20,000 for anybody who can give them information about a female wolf that was found dead in Oregon. It's illegal to do that, and even if it weren't illegal, why can't we take responsibility for ourselves and our own actions? Something in people's hearts and minds really ought to tell them, this is not an okay thing to do. So that. Let's see. And the FBI has launched an investigation into a series of fires along the Bakken Oil Pipeline construction in Jasper County. My feeling on that is that the people who have the best access to that pipeline would be Bakken Oil employees, of course. The people that the oil company would have an easy time of it. Also, they would go completely unnoticed because obviously they've been working on the pipeline for a while. If someone should see oil company personnel anywhere on or around that pipeline, they would think nothing of it. If they saw someone from Standing Rock Camp, for example, or even worse, Red Warrior, then they would probably want to say something. That would get reported. That would blow up. So it's something to think about. That brings us straight to Standing Rock, and that's where we want to be with Jacqueline and Keila, joining us today live here at Cabo to talk about a particular event. Dave Archambault is a tribal leader in chief there, and Jack, I take it from here, I'm speechless when we get...
Thank you for having me on. I just got back from Standing Rock. I myself am Dakota. My dad is an enrolled tribal member of the Yankton Sioux tribe, which is actually filed a lawsuit with this case because that is some of the sites. There are Ihanktawan sites, Ihanktawan Dakota sites, the burial sites, and because our people were the people of the Missouri River. So under our original 1851 treaty, that area is part of our land. And so, and I also covered, I'm a journalist. I was there as a journalist from Télé Sur. And I also covered the Malheur wildlife takeover. And I covered it from the perspective of the Burns Paiute tribe. So I spent many, many hours talking to the tribal council during that takeover. And I'm writing a second piece that's going to be comparing that takeover to Standing Rock. And I had written previously for The Nation magazine about comparing the work of my dad's tribe, the Yankton Sioux tribe, in the Keystone XL fight. They led that fight. They were lead litigants. And comparing that to Clive and Bundy, their father.
What exactly happened that we find so what exactly happened that we found so very disturbing?
Yes.
When you were there recently.
Yeah. And so recently it was an interview, I think, with Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! And I got to meet her while I was there. Her and I have the same birthday, so we kind of celebrated our birthday together. That was really cool. I've been on her show. She interviewed me about the Malheur takeover. And chairman of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, which is a sovereign nation. It actually has an international status as a nation.
This is something people forget often.
When
you talk about First Nations, we are talking about sovereign nations. First Nations, sovereign nations, should be negotiating with the U.S. government, not
the
with
states.
Governor Donald,
no.
Not with anybody else.
States.
It's nation to nation.
States have a lower status politically than tribes do, and the U.S. government doesn't sign treaties with anything but other sovereign nations. So they don't. The Senate doesn't ratify treaties with anyone but sovereign nations. So this is international. It's a recognition of the sovereignty of the Dakota and Lakota people. So, the chairman, Dave Archambault II, was arrested. We all know at the very beginning of this whole takeover in August. And what we didn't know until now is that he was strip searched by North Dakota police. He's the head of state of a nation. And he was strip searched by the state of North Dakota for standing up for his people, for their right to have a say about what happens to their drinking water, to their territorial lands.
This is probably the most humiliating. I think it was possible to make the argument that a strip search in certain situations, this would be one of those situations, amounts to torture because of the humiliating, it is extremely humiliating, and especially with someone of great dignity.
It's used as a form of humiliation, of harassment by the state of North Dakota. And also another interview with Democracy Now!, LaDonna Allard, yeah, who is running the Sacred Stone Camp. The original camp is on her land on the other side of the Cannonball River. And her daughter was picked up, and then they strip searched her and threw her in a jail cell, and they brought in the FBI to go look at her while she was lying on the floor naked. They kept her there for a long time that way. So there is this thing of sort of pinpointing, actually sort of really, it is harassment. Go ahead. So it's pretty, I think that North Dakota is being shown to be a rogue state, a state in control, a petrodollar state. And I think this is complete. And I really wish the Justice Department would get involved. I mean, where is the Justice Department in all this?
And yeah, Governor Donald Paul seems to believe that the oil companies have the power to change the laws of North Dakota to suit themselves and their own goals and ambitions for this.
He is invested in a lot of this, and there's a lot of financial ties between the elected officials and this pipeline.
So to wrap this all up, right now at the camp, What it's getting cold there. People are still arriving. I understand you, of course, arrived.
Yes.
But how is the camp sustaining itself throughout the winter, and particularly, of course, legally, because they're definitely back to the corner. And what I think that perhaps the Dakota doesn't, Dalrymple doesn't understand is if you're fighting for your land, on your land, you don't ever give up.
Yeah, well, the main camp is the Ocheti Shakowin camp, which is across the river from LaDonna's camp, which is the Sacred Stone camp. And that's where all the thousands of people are, at the Ocheti Shakowin camp. The Red Warrior camp is very small. Mm-hmm. It's within that. I think it had about 7 tents when I was there. It's a pretty small camp within the larger Ocheti Shakowin. And Ocheti Shakowin means the seven council fires. That's the name of the Great Sioux Nation in our own language. And Dave Archambault he's created the Ocheti Shakowin Council, which advises him, composed of elders from all seven council fires, including my Aunt Faith Spotteagle. She's the representative from Yankton, from the Hanktawan. And so, last day I was there, tents were being blown down. The winds are very strong in North Dakota.
We're just about out of time here.
Yeah.
Would you like to leave this on?
They definitely need help winterizing, a lot of help. And I'll be writing an article in Tell Us Sir that will be coming out soon with more details.